This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that lead today's show are sci-fi becomes reality. I'm going to help you find things to do this weekend. We're going to talk about a new Windows 10 timeline feature that's coming this fall that has me a little bit concerned. We're going to talk about buying cell phones on the open market and making sure the cell that you're buying is not stolen. We're going to talk about some interesting cable industry survey results that didn't turn out quite the way they wanted to, plus all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1199 of the Geekness Center podcast for Thursday, May 11th. This show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals can be found at GoDaddy by going to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. And if you're brand new to the podcast, if this is your first time watching Geek News Central, I want to welcome you to the show. I know that we've picked up a huge number of folks over the last couple of shows just because of some topics I've been talking about. Welcome you guys as well. Welcome to the podcast. And of course, what you want to do today is get over to geeknewscentral.com, get signed up for the show, and really, it's a piece of cake. All you got to do is subscribe to the podcast. And via iTunes or on Android. If you have an Android device and you do not have a podcatcher, clicking on the On Android link will take you over to a page that basically presents you 14 different Android apps that you can choose from to subscribe to the podcast. And that will load it. And then once it's done, from there on out, all you got to do is click on that button on any website that you see. And you'll be able to get subscribed to a podcast with one click. You can listen via email, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn. Use the standard RSS feed with a old school podcatcher. If you have no idea what the heck I'm talking about, just click on the more subscribe options on the page, and that'll take you to an area, where you'll find out how to get subscribed to the podcast. Sign up for the newsletter as well on the website. Newsletter is basically everything I'm going to talk about today during the show. I will email to everyone that's in that email list, and you will get the latest and greatest from me directly. Excuse me. I was buried in there trying to come out. So anyway, definitely get subscribed to the show if you're brand new, and thanks for checking the show out really for the very first time. Of course, if you have comments about today's show, email me, geeknews@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at Geek News. You can join our Slack channel by basically emailing me and saying, hey, I want to be part of your Slack channel. Follow on Google Plus or Facebook. Just search for my name. You can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel on the Apple TV by searching for Geek News Central. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher, Watch, Review, and Blueberry.com, or you can tell your Google Home device to play the podcast Geek News Central. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob Jett and Jeff, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site with the GNC team. We've got the new media show with Rob Greenlee and myself. Matter of fact, we'll have a new episode this Saturday. And of course, the Podcast Legends show, which we'll be doing some interviews here in the coming weeks. This show is sponsored, of course, by our good friends at GoDaddy.com. I tell you, GoDaddy takes care of us here, and I have to just give a shout out to all of you. The numbers were late in coming in for April as far as where we fell, and whenever they're late, I get a little nervous because I don't know what they were doing, but they were doing a double audit. I had a good month. I had a really, really good month in April. Absolutely jazzed with the results. Thank you very much for your ongoing support. It's really, I can tell, you know, and really what it does is the system I'm able to look into, the crystal ball that shows how the performance of the advertising campaign goes every month, doesn't give me all the deep dive and the deep dive stuff, really, because I was kind of worried that I thought at the end of the month we were a little behind, and it turned out we were not behind at all. So again, thank you so very much, and the growth of the show and the continued support by all of you really is making a difference. So thank you very much for the ongoing support. But when you get over to GoDaddy, and if you haven't made that jump, if you haven't picked up a product or service, matter of fact, this afternoon, I used my own code, and I picked up a 12-month WordPress, managed WordPress site, I can't even say it, for $1 a month, that was $12, plus got a free domain. I'm launching a new website in conjunction with some of the stuff that we've been talking about in the show. So I picked up that, I'm going to set that up tomorrow, but, use my own product here. So definitely save 30% on your product purchases, or get a 99cent.com, or get $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain for 12 months. Just basically $12 gets you going with that free domain, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain again for the first year. Pay attention to the plan that you picked up. The one I did, because I think this is going to be a relatively low volume site. Once the 12-month period is over, it's like $397 a month, something like that. So even afterwards, it'll be like $50 a year. Not a big deal. And plus the domain renewal. So $55, $56, I've got a website after the first year that will renew. So not a bad deal. And of course, really, they're all there for you for the taking at geekandcentral.com/GoDaddy. Check out all the deals, all the promo codes. Grab the promo code, use it at checkout, or just click on the link and it takes you to GoDaddy and use that. That's what we want you to do. And we want you to make sure you save lots of money by using our promo codes, and your ongoing support of GoDaddy has my eternal gratitude. So thank you very much. And again, thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor. As a matter of fact, they are the unofficial Guinness Book of World Record holder for longest continuous sponsored podcast. This podcast, I've been here since July of 2005. All right. So let me go ahead and just get my three. I have a short stack tonight of just stuff I want to talk with you about real quick before we get into the content, because I got a lot of stuff to share in the content. So I talked to you about the falling down on the last show. It's been a rough, really, really, really rough week. Yesterday was the worst. Oh my God. I mean, it was so bad. The pain was so bad that I could barely sleep last night. And this afternoon, things started to subside. I don't have a broken rib, but boy, I have this black and blue mark the side of my, from about the top, bottom of my rib cage down another 6 inches. It's awful tender, and back and the whole 9 yards. So it was ugly, and it continues to be so. So I'm going to be stuck with this for a couple of weeks. But you just only want to fall down like that, like about once every 10 years. But all things considering, from the top of my head to the grass where I landed was about 10 feet, and even though I did impact two walls on the way down, I'm pretty happy. No broken bones or anything. So anyway, just a little bit, I don't want to, I've already talked a lot about the situation that's going on in my hometown where I grew up, but basically I'm at this point going to take the activism to a new level. One of the folks that's in the town launched a new Facebook page, made me a contributing editor to it. We've set up an email. We're setting up a website. This is going to get serious for a little bit, but I'm going to take that kind of and run with that and do with it what I must. And having some assistant with some people in the community that want to be involved as well. And we're going to bring undue pressure, or as much pressure as we can. Saturday is a pivotal day, and it'll all depend what happens on Saturday on where things go. Because the school board is meeting, and we think that they're going to be making a decision on the principal and the superintendent. And there was word on the news yesterday that both of those individuals are there's criminal charges potentially pending for them with the attorney or the prosecuting attorney's office because of their non-action last year. So anyway, that we'll keep you advised kind of what that's going on a lower level, but be working over the weekend and stuff to get these websites online and get that moving forward. So I am scheduled right now, going to be going to the East Coast, going to be doing the roundabout, be there for a couple of weeks. Looks like right now, and I'm going to try to get to my niece's graduation as well, but as of right now, I am going to be heading out, it looks like the weekend of the 3rd. Of course, my birthday is right around that time, and then I'll be on the East Coast for a minimum of 2 weeks, potentially coming back to Hawaii on the 18th. But her graduation's on the 11th, so I've been looking at flights, basically being able to get me back, get in a couple of days worth of spending time with the family, then back to meetings. So anyway, that is kind of the trying to make that work. But it's going to be tight. I'll be doing some red eyes and some very early morning flights to make that happen. But so anyway, just plan on me doing on the road show for a couple of weeks in early June. Will be no video with those. It'll just be strictly audio podcast. But it's been a while. I haven't, you know, basically did a road trip to the East Coast, and it's time for that. Also, the podcast awards registrations are going good. Cannot complain. Everything is on track. So I sent out a newsletter to podcasters letting them know that the registration was open. That was a huge influx of folks. So now they're, you know, they're trickling in, and things will continue to climb as we get closer to the July 1 nomination period. But anyway, podcastawards.com is the site for podcasters to get registered for that. New media show. Rob Greenlee and I will be doing a show on Saturday. And it's probably going to be a monster. It's probably going to be a couple hours because just we got a lot of stuff to talk about and we haven't done a show in a while. So Rob's in town, I'm in town. So that will happen and we'll be ready to go. Mike is saying, hey, Todd, you need to be bubble wrapped. Then you can fall off the walls you'd like. I will pass on the bubble wrap. And if we're going to be falling into anything, it should be swimming pools. Yes, I've been missing the new media show as well, Mike. So I'll be, it's just like, we're going to have to relearn how to do that podcast. It just feels like it's been forever. And I'm going to actually have to make a list because if I don't, there's going to be topics we've missed because there's been, but I'm sure Rob will keep me on track. But anyway, that's what's going on. All right, so that's it for kind of commentary to get going into the show tonight. We'll and there's a lot of stuff, and I really, man, kudos out there in a big time to Kirk for him coming on was an absolute perfect timing. I'll be honest with you, I've been burning the candle at both ends. And we got a big thing coming on Monday at Blueberry with a, if everything goes right, we're going to be rolling out a next product line, the next level of services, one of the services we have, working that, doing just, you know, kind of ramping up towards that along with a lot of other stuff that's been happening. So it can't believe it's already, you know, May 11th. It's just, it blows me away, to be quite honest with you, that we're already this far into this year. Time just flies when you're having fun, right? But I want to start today's show off and talk a little bit on content-wise about something I found so ironic. And it's an article over on Engadget, talking about NASA's mission to Mars includes a year-long stay on the moon. And I read this, I was like, what do you mean? So they're saying that some astronauts may spend a year orbiting the moon before NASA finally makes its way to Mars. At the Human to Mars Summit in Washington, D.C., Greg Williams from the agency's Human Exploration Division revealed the details of NASA's two-phase plan to send humans to the Red Planet. Now, let me, if any of you are sci-fi readers, you will see a theme here. The theme being, what do we do first? We you know, we conquer the space around us, which, you know, we're up there in the International Space Station. Then we go to the moon. You know, we build a small outpost of some sort. And from there, we start doing missions. And let's think about this for a second. Once we get this hardware, you know, into orbit, some of that hardware is going to be able to be reused. You got to just get the fuel to it to make it work, right? And so we're going to be able to leverage resources on Mars, resources on the moon, to maybe at some point being able to not have to heavy lift so much from Earth to make this exploration possible. And that, my friends, is sci-fi coming to life. It is really how a lot of sci-fi books are laid out on the stepping stone, especially if you read series and different things. We have to become established. And if we're, you know, this will never happen completely in my lifetime, obviously, because it's going to cost a lot of money. But we got to have the ability to have a crew habitat and a place on the moon, low gravity, right? To be able to, you know, not have to use so much energy from getting point A to point B. It's exciting. It really, really is. So they're saying that these trips where we're going to be doing the moon thing will happen between 2018 and 2026, with the potential for phase two to Mars in 2027. And it will start by sending a deep space transport vehicle to, well, maybe they're going to send, 2027 is maybe where they will start doing the inhabitation on the moon before they punch to Mars, which could happen by 2030. So we're at what, 2017 now? That's 13 years. I'm 52, 65 if I don't stroke out. I might be around to see some of this. So this is going to be good. I'm excited. How much is it going to cost? A lot of money. A lot. But baby steps, right? I think it's worth the cash investment to get us from point A to point B, start figuring out what it takes to make it happen, figure out what it takes to sustain for long periods of time, become self-sustaining, all that stuff, because the supply truck is a long semi run to Mars just to deliver water and food. You know, we got to be able to make this so where, you know, over time, they're not relying on Mothership Earth, but we will see what happens here. But very, very exciting for me to read kind of this multi-step process to get to Mars. I told you at the beginning of the show, I was going to help you find something to do this weekend. Well, really, what it really is Google now helps you find things to do this weekend. Assuming you're not one of the folks working, and you know, oftentimes I'm working on the weekends. And or if you're wondering what to do with your days off and you're spending a little much time on the Bloob Tube, or, and that's the TV for those of you that don't know that slang, or too many video games, Google search has local event list now. So Google lists local events happening in your area, and all you need to do is access information, type events near me into the Google search, and then you get shown a list of events happening within your vicinity with the option to zero on items that interest you. So it could be a jazz conference, festival. It could be, whatever's going on could come up. If you're into yoga, all kinds of cool stuff. It'll basically show what's happening in your area. So this is pretty cool. I know Facebook has some of this stuff as well, but, oftentimes I'm like, what are we going to do? And then you're kind of like looking at each other like, I don't know. And if you haven't been like watching the periodicals and that type of stuff. So a good way to stay abreast of what's happening in your community. On a more techie side, Windows 10, they're introducing something called Timeline. And the Timeline remembers everything you did on your PC, whether you're on a Surface Studio or an iPhone. Cortana will keep your task in sync. So I'm kind of looking at this, and I'm not so sure I'm a fan. And really what it is, if this Timeline will be, it'll actually show what you watched, what you did, where you went, what you listened to. And Timeline is going to live in the Windows app switcher. When you click it, you'll see your active apps, but below that, you'll see what you're running earlier in the day. Clicking down on one of those things that you were using earlier will pop it up just as you were using it before. This works across multiple devices as well. When you open another Windows device where you've signed in, you can resume the task that you were using before. This will even work across other devices like the iPhone using the Cortana app. If you're somewhere where you have Cortana, it prompts you to continue working on whatever you're doing before. So now here's the thing. Will employers be coming to your desk and like, I want to see your timeline? Scroll back, please. 5 days. I want to see what you've been working on. It's a little weird. And it's coming this fall. So I don't know if there's going to be a way to turn it off. But it's, you know, the computers are here to assist us, not to track us. But that's what it's become. And it's getting worse. So I have this link up in the show notes. You can check it out. A little H2O here. Been fighting a little bit of dry mouth the last couple of days. Body's probably in repair mode. So if you're buying a used phone, there's always been one critical thing to look out for, whether a device was stolen. Finding that out has been getting a bit easier. The U.S. Wireless Industry, through its trade group, the CTIA, has launched a new tool called Stolen Phone Checker. And it's at stolenphonechecker.org, which lets you look up whether the phone has been reported lost or stolen. The site works by looking up the device's MEID or ESN unique codes that get assigned to every phone. These are sometimes printed on the back of the phones like the iPhone, but in other cases, they can be found somewhere deep in the settings menu. So if you're able to ask the seller to send or post a picture of that data, you can get a little better feel whether or not that particular phone has been stolen. Now, this tool isn't the first of its kind. There are a handful of third-party apps that do this as well, like the one from Swappa, and the big carriers have their own too. But Stolen Phone Checker is being positioned as the kind of the central site for looking for these things up. And you know, if you're going to, especially if you're buying one off Craigslist and you're going to someone's house or you're going to meet someone in a parking lot, which a lot of Craigslist and transactions happen when you're selling stuff or you're buying, you can right there, before you pay for it, before you take possession, check it, and it'll give you warm and fuzzy. The cable industry, you know, they're just actually giddy about net neutrality, about it being basically being wiped off the face of the earth here. So as U.S. cable companies push to eliminate or change net neutrality rules, which they're having huge success in, the industry's primary lobby group, I can't speak, today released results of a survey that it says shows strong bipartisan consensus that the government should let the internet flourish without imposing burdensome regulations. But the results, if you see them all, paint just a little bit different picture. 61% of respondents either strongly or somewhat support net neutrality rules that ISPs say cannot block, throttle, or prioritize certain content on the internet. Only 18% oppose net neutrality, and the rest don't know what it is or had no opinion. Now, technically, that doesn't contradict their official position. These companies say they support the core of net neutrality while merely opposing the FCC's use of its common carrier authority over Title II of the Communications Act to enforce them. But the net neutrality rules imposed in 2015 depend heavily on Title II because the 2014 court decision that prevented the FCC from enforcing the rules without reclassifying ISPs as a Title II common carrier. So, the survey asked, when it comes to the role of the federal government regulating access to the internet, which of the following comes closest to your view, even if none are exactly right? Just 12% answered that the government should have the ability to set specific price terms and conditions for internet access, while 53% the government should have a light touch approach to internet that allows regulators to monitor their marketplace and take action if consumers are harmed. The problem with the ability to set specific prices and take actions if consumers are harmed, survey answers, is that both of them accurately describe the current federal system. The FCC does have the ability to set specific internet prices, but it doesn't do so and has no intentions of doing so. The FCC 2015 net neutrality order did not set a specific price for home and mobile internet services, but used the Title II authority to let consumers complain about prices and practices. So there's some interesting results in this, and I'm not going to go through the full survey, but you know, they try to, whoever, it's how you ask the question and the answers that they provide for you to check often tweak a survey to the advantage of the company that's trying to get a specific result. So I think what's all of us have to form our own opinions about net neutrality, and I hope I've done a good job in this show over the years and kind of laying that out, so that you can come down on the fence whichever way you want. How many of you remember Deep Blue? You know, it's been 20 years since Deep Blue showed that it could outclass a human in what humans had excelled in playing chess. Of course, the human was the World Chess Championship Garry Kasparov. And by the way, I had an email from a listener that says I should learn how to say everything I talk about on the show. And here's the skinny. This show has been going on for 1,199 episodes. And I've been destroying the English language ever since I started. And the show is what it is. And when you cover the breadth of content that I do, and when it comes to Russian names and even weird things, I'm going to make mistakes. This is a podcast. This is not television. And if it drives you crazy, you can chuckle or you can go listen somewhere else. And I'll read your email. Yeah, don't worry. But anyway, 20 years since Deep Blue. And they have a pretty good interview with the team behind Deep Blue, or at least one of the team members behind Deep Blue, and talk about artificial intelligence, where it is and where it's going. Verizon, boy oh boy, this is funny. We talked about this this particular purchase a few weeks ago, where AT&T was going to buy a company called Straight Path Communications. They were snatching up the little company because they own some spectrum that AT&T wanted. Well, today, Verizon basically came in over the top of AT&T and said it would pay $184 a share or $3.1 billion for the company. That's nearly double the $1.6 billion AT&T offered. Verizon's also going to cover the $38 million breakup fee that Straight Path owes to AT&T for ditching the deal. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Straight Path holds a valuable swath of nationwide spectrum that runs at a high frequency, the kind of spectrum to power a super-fast 5G wireless network. The deal has the potential to kickstart Verizon's 5G ambitions. So, AT&T got stomped. Verizon came in and said, well, you know, they're only offering like 1.6. Why don't we double the offer and give you 3.1 billion? Here's the skinny. Once they buy the spectrum, they own it. It's theirs. And spectrum is like land. There's not going to be any more land. And, you know, the Big Island of Hawaii, they're making more land because the volcano is making more land. But land is a commodity that just, there's, you know, not an infinite amount of it. And when you own land, you never sell land. And when you own RF spectrum, you never sell RF spectrum. $3.1 billion was probably cheap for Verizon to pay that. And AT&T should have had their game on. And it came in there, oh, we'll give you 1.6. Verizon's, oh, no, we'll give you 3.1. Now, can it get more interesting? Can AT&T come back in over the top and say, we'll give you 4.8? How much will they go? You know, this could get, or will T-Mobile come in and say, we'll give you 10. Be good to tell. Meanwhile, congratulations to the owners of that company. Or probably it's owned by a bunch of investment bankers, but big payday ahead. Apple TV is set to get a Amazon Prime Video app this summer. Huh. After years of neck and neck rivalry over video, the Amazon Prime Video app will be coming to the Apple TV, according to a BuzzFeed report. Apple break the news at its worldwide developer conference in June. So that's an interesting move and may make the Apple TV a little more appealing. So congratulations for them figuring that out. A Texas mother is suing T-Mobile, alleging technical issues with the carrier prevented her child from getting urgent medical care, which led to the child's death. Bridget Alex says that the telco problem with ghost calls left the babysitter of her six-month-old son unable to reach the city's emergency services in time to save the boy. The child was later pronounced dead at a hospital. At the time, 911 call centers in Dallas had been struggling with heavy call loads due in part to ghosting glitches that, along with staffing and other problems, caused T-Mobile USA and Metro PCS handsets to make multiple redials to emergency service and left those callers on hold for long periods as a result. According to a lawsuit filed in Dallas, Alex argues that T-Mobile carriers liabilities for her baby's death due to its failure to carry emergency calls properly. T-Mobile, just write the check. You're not going to win this one. A mom and a dead baby, that's pretty hard to overcome when it comes to a jury trial. Also got a great article for you on how to shoot video on the iPhone, and give you some pointers, and talk about how to do highlight shots and a variety of different things. So I have that link up in the show notes. Also, how to make a good portrait as well using your iPhone. So that's a little informational article I have up for you. The museum, a new museum exhibit. Now, where is this museum at? Where is this? Doesn't say. So a new museum exhibit honors 11 men who made significant contributions to spaceflight in NASA's early days. In the late 1950s, NASA recruited 11 hearing impaired, or actually deaf men, from Gallaudet College, now Gallaudet University, to study the long-term effects of weightlessness on the human body before the agency ultimately sent astronauts to space. The group of men, also known as the Gallaudet 11, suffered from inner ear problems. As a result, they did not experience the adverse effects of motion sickness, making them the perfect candidates for early spaceflight. So, where's this museum exhibit at? Oh, they have a new museum exhibit called Depth Difference and Space Survival. And it must be at the Gallaudet University. So a link will be up in the show notes on this. A little history stuff keeps coming out about NASA that's pretty cool. Netflix, they're on the move here. The streaming service is hiring and spending more in the European Union and all over Europe specifically to try to, basically get a better foothold over there. Netflix said Thursday it will hire 400 more people in Amsterdam for its European customer service hub. The company is using Amsterdam offices as its new headquarters for an expansion into Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. The expansion is critical for Netflix to maintain its growth because the expansion in the United States has slowed. So that may mean some European-specific content coming to Europe because of the they're trying to expand and build audience there. Over at MakeUseOf.com, you can download iMovie, GarageBand, Pages, and iWork free for Mac and iOS. Apple recently made a number of core consumer-level iOS and Mac apps free of charge to all users. Previously, apps like iMovie, GarageBand were free only to customers purchasing a new Apple device. Even users with old devices or those with purchased secondhand iPhones or MacBooks can now download Pages, Numbers, Keynote, GarageBand, and iMovie free of charge. So if you're not familiar with those, which you should be as a Mac user, you can definitely check it out. Link will be up in the show notes. How many of you have a TiVo? I don't. I don't have a TiVo. Until we cut the cord again here, I have a DVR from the cable company. But apparently, the president loves his TiVo. So I'm sure he's using it to record every news station in existence and then probably fast forwards through each of them as he's tweeting. But anyway, so if you have a TiVo, you have something in common with the president. I'm ducking here. And some of you just stopped playing the show. But anyway, just thought I'd let you know. Over on CNET, they're reporting United Airlines tried piggybacking on Wendy's Nuggets retweet fame. Oh, boy. United, just stay in the penalty box a little longer. You know, they've been vilified for dragging 69-year-old David Dow off a plane last month. And, they should have really kind of, kept it on the lowdown. But this week, a Nevada team achieved the most retweets of all time, 3.6 million, and all in the cause of getting a year's worth of free Wendy's chicken nuggets. And I don't think I've ever had a Wendy's chicken nuggets. I think every time I went to Wendy's, I've always got a single with no cheese and chili and maybe a Frosty. I don't think I've ever had Wendy's chicken nuggets. Are they okay? Are they good? Most of the nuggets that are out there are being sold by fast food places. Don't get me wrong. McDonald's chicken nuggets, they're probably the absolute worst thing you could ever eat. Oh, man, I love those chicken nuggets. But, I'm losing weight. Chicken nuggets are not on the menu right now. Maybe it'll be a reward when I lose another 10 pounds. I have a six piece. It's just something about, chicken nuggets and their hot mustard sauce. And yes, I know they're horrible for you, but gosh, it's that greasy fried chicken nuggets. Oh, man, it's good. But anyway, going back to the story, this Nevada teen achieved the most retweets, and he got his year's worth of free Wendy's chicken nuggets. But Wednesday, United popped up to remind the team of its offer earlier in April for a free flight to Wendy's of his choice. Is there a Wendy's in Seychelles? That's about as far as you can go. United says, "Hey, at Carter JWM, congrats on your world record. It's time to decide where in the world you'd like to visit." So at that point. Yo, United, how many retweets to not get assaulted by you on my next flight? Another person says, it's a trap. They'll reaccommodate you and take your nuggets. Now, United didn't immediately respond to requests for comment on the Twitter backlash, but perhaps tweeter Nick Mazzetti had the first finest perspective on United's sudden attempt to be friendly. If this gets 18 million retweets, I'll actually fly at United again, he tweeted. So, United, you got to stay in the penalty box. People are still not happy with you. Cisco, they've snatched up a conversational AI startup for $125 million. The deal for San Francisco-based MindMeld expected to close by the fourth quarter. You know, big tech companies are plunking down lots of cash to bulk up in artificial intelligence. So in the latest example, they agreed to buy this firm. I don't even know what MindMeld does. You know, I have no clue what their products even do. So anyway, $125 million, they must have had something special. Also, ABC News may have had some fake news on BMWs that were parked, that were catching fire. Basically, ABC did an investigation to a series of parked BMWs. In conjunction with local ABC-owned outlets, it discovered more than 40 situations in which various BMW models caught fire while parked. BMW came in and did a serious investigation, and they said, yeah, we looked at all these vehicles, but with 4.9 million BMWs on the road, fire incidents involving BMWs are very rare. They take this incidents very seriously. So they went in and looked at each of the vehicles. He said these vehicles span an age of 1 to 15 years, accumulated mileage of up to 232,000, and multiple generations and model types. And cases that we have inspected are able to, and we are able, in cases that we have been inspected and are able to determine the root cause, we have not seen any pattern related to the quality of or component failure. Vehicle fires can result from a wide variety of external reasons unrelated to product defect. So they're basically calling ABC out and said, hey, you didn't do your homework. This is not the same vehicle every time, different vehicles, different age, different mileage. And you know, vehicles do burn up from time to time. In the most bizarre story that I think I have read on Kim.com, is out today on Torrent Freak. And it is an insight into a shell game of money, stock, trust funds, and a whole bunch of weird stuff. It's just too weird to even go into. And I want you guys to read this. And is this just more like smoke and mirrors or what? Link will be up in the show notes. I want to hear from you. geeknews@gmail.com. Those of you that live in the UK, how to stop cold callers from calling your mobile device. So there's some very explicit instructions from the Information Commissioner Office, the ICO, on how to do this and how to basically get your mobile number blocked so that basically, folks won't be marketing to you. But they also reminded you, don't automatically report to marketing texts. Don't be submitting your cell phone to marketing firms to get more information. They can't help you there, but they can help you for unsolicited stuff. So I'll have the link up in the show notes for you on that. Here in the United States, I'm getting unsolicited phone calls all the time on my mobile now. If you own an Asus router, there's a new patch out there. Users of Asus RT-N and RT-AC series routers should install the latest firmware updates released for their models because they address vulnerabilities that could allow attackers to hijack router settings. So if you have an Asus RT-N and an RT-AC series, we definitely want you to get this updated. You should be logging into your router administration on a regular basis and looking for firmware updates. Most modern routers today have a place where you can update your firmware, and these usually come out, you know, on a regular basis. So make sure you're checking your devices, okay? Microsoft has a, well, PC World has a review of what's known as Microsoft Story Remix. Remix uses machine learning and mixed reality to make your videos awesome. So as I was reading through this, I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. I need to check this out. So he put 3D animation in, animation, and all kinds of cool effects. So I'll have the link up in the show notes. If you haven't been using Microsoft Story Remix, you definitely want to check it out, okay? A little bit of cell phone news. B&H Photo and Video is offering Sony's Xperia X for just $250. So if you're looking for that, definitely check that out. If you're a Sony fan, but just be advised, it really didn't get a lot of great reviews initially. So maybe it's why it's on sale. Also, that's in the wrong place. What happened here? I had another mobile article. Did I skip it? Huh. I thought I had two in a row. So I'm moving off mobile. The director of the United States Census resigned today. And we're just a few years away from the 2020 census. And people are saying that the Census Bureau is woefully underfunded. They did not get a raise in funding this year. So the director over there basically had enough. And he said, I'm out of here. I'm pow. I quit. So U.S. Census Director John Thompson is gone. So they're going to have to find his replacement and make sure the census is on track for the 2020 every 10-year census. So, you know, the census provides a lot of important information, migration of people, school district information, voting district information, all kinds of stuff. So when it's census time, make sure you fill out your census questionnaire. A man is going to have to pay $300,000 in damages for hacking his employer. A former private security officer in California must pay $319,000 in damages for attacking his employer's computer systems. Yovan Garcia accessed payroll records as security specialist, which provides private security patrols to inflate the number of hours he had worked. He later hacked the firm's servers to steal data and deface its website. District Judge Michael Fitzgerald said Garcia used the stolen data to help set up a rival business. So if you're going to get, you know, you're going to leave employment of a company and you're going to go in and destroy or steal data, you deserve everything that the judge is going to throw at you. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. By the way, anyone in Michigan know of any companies that provide personal security? If you do, let me know. Drop me a line on that. The Sci-Fi Channel is rebooting with a new focus on science fiction fandom. The rebranding comes as the network celebrates its 25th anniversary. So the cable channel unveiled a rebranding effort. So basically, it's a new logo to take advantage of the growing popularity of science fiction and fantasy shows. Along with a new look, the channel announced today that it's picking up two series, Krypton, a Superman prequel, and Happy, a show about an ex-police officer turned hitman whose life is changed by a perky blue wing talking horse. Really? Okay, Happy, a show about an ex-police officer turned hitman whose life is changed by a perky blue winged talking horse. Alright. Okay. Good luck, Sci-Fi. Largest X-ray laser ever is about to power up and drill a hole or whatever it sees. Particle accelerators can fire all kinds of particles from protons to electrons and even whole atomic nuclei. And now an enormous linear photon accelerator is about to join the mix. Deutsche Elektronen Synchrotron DESI has been working for years towards a single monumental achievement. It's about to fire up the world's biggest X-ray laser. The 3.4 kilometer European XFEL is the largest and most powerful of five great X-ray lasers worldwide. and its upgrades in terms of speed, not just intensity, with more than 27,000 hard X-ray pulses per second. So what are they going to do with this thing? I'm trying to figure out what they're going to shoot with this. Well, yes, we'll see. We'll keep you advised on that. I have no idea what kind of science they do with these types of lasers. Maybe someone in the science space out there can enlighten me. All right, do you use Steam? So if you want to know how to share your Steam game library with family and friends, I've got an article for you. It gives you very explicit instructions how to do that. Link will be up in the show notes. Also, Microsoft's next mobile strategy is to make iOS and Android better. So basically, they can't beat them, so they're joining them. Kind of alluded to this a little earlier in the show. Microsoft's new push is to convince Windows users it can help them resume activities and apps even if they're using an iPhone or Android device. Again, it goes back to Cortana. And the strategy is coming from one of their lead Windows developers who basically took a year sabbatical and traveled around the world, learning how people connect the internet and using Windows products and so forth. So I have the link up in the show notes for you, all right? You know, one thing I'll tell you folks, and those of you listening, you don't notice it, but those who are watching probably do. Most shows I have my wife is, she has a Metaluca dealership, or she's a distributor or whatever you want to call it, but she can buy it wholesale at the Metaluca. And they sell these like 10-hour energy, but they're a power shot. And it's really just like a hit of caffeine. And I've been using these for a while. And I start the show at 8 o'clock Honolulu time. So I've usually been, you know, already 18 or, you know, maybe 16 hours into my day. It's usually, you know, when I'm late doing the show. And I take one of these. And but tonight I was, she's all out. She hasn't been there in over a month, then, you know, I'm out of my stock. So I went digging around in the cabinet, and I found a energy drink from another company that I've been trying, and I had bought a 12-pack, and they're supposed to be more healthy, and they're not like a Red Bull, and, you know, so just, that's, and I've got like three of them left. There is something in all of these drinks, not the Metaluca one, but the energy type drinks, that when I take them, I get a runny nose. Does anybody else have that effect with any of these energy drinks? You drink a Red Bull or you drink an off brand and you get a runny nose. I don't know what it is. I know we got a few doctors in the house. Maybe they can explain it. But, you know, I've already X'd this company off the list for repurchase. I'm not going to do it. And the only reason I went to him is because I didn't have anything else, and my butt was dragging tonight. So definitely the Metaluca ones, even though they just take it's a caffeine, you know, spike essentially. I don't get this runny nose thing going on with those, but I don't know what it is. There's something in those energy drinks that do it. Maybe the rest of you don't notice it. I do. Because I never have a running nose till I get ready to do the show, and it's after I've drank one of those, you know, canned energy drinks. Something not right in those things, folks. Microsoft will make its Edge browser faster in the next Windows 10 update. And how many of you are actually using Edge? I don't see too much use for Edge. Sprint sues the U.S. government over elimination of broadband price caps. Turns out, Sprint and a company called Windstream has sued the FCC this week over a decision that will help AT&T, Verizon, and CenturyLink charge higher prices for certain business internet services. The FCC voted last month to limit price caps on the so-called business data services. We talked about this on the show, BDS. These are offered by incumbent phone companies throughout the country. The FCC's decision, to which Sprint and Windstream object, only eliminated price caps in competitive markets. But it appears that Sprint and Windstream both purchase bandwidth from BDS providers to boost their own network. So they're going to have to pay this premium to use the network. And they're basically saying, hey, why did you do that? You're going to hurt us. So it gives you some insight into maybe the not so robustness of the Sprint network. Lighthouse is a pretty cool company. and I'm a little bit familiar with them. But let me show you this new security device they've got going on. For those of you that are watching, I'll get it up here on the screen in a second, waiting for it to load. And this is an article on The Verge. So, you guys see this as it's happening? This ad, these ad pop-ups make the screen change. But anyway, the team at Lighthouse, a startup out of Android co-founder Andy Rubin's Playground Accelerator, doesn't see its new hardware product as a home security camera. Instead, they see it as an interactive assistant. Lighthouse, at first, will definitely be perceived as another entrant into the smart camera market. The device unveiled for the first time today sits in the home just like a Nest Cam to monitor what's going on indoors. That's where the overlap with Nest ends. However, Lighthouse incorporates deep learning and 3D sensing technology to determine who is in the home, where they are inside, and if it's a normal occurrence or not. So the camera pairs with a companion iOS Android app or Wi-Fi so users can determine remotely whether an intruder is in their house. So anyway, cool stuff on that. Do you guys see about the new Amazon Alexa device? I ordered one. $229. I don't think I have a link to it in tonight's show notes, but I got one early, say early July delivery. So I'm excited to see what this new Amazon Alexa device will do. If you live in the UK, the UK Labour Party has pledged 30 megabits per second universal broadband speed by 2022, according to a draft leaked version of its party manifesto. The current universal service obligation was set at 10 megs per second by 2020, with a proposed amendment to 30 by the House of Lords having been dropped in the recently passed Digital Economy Act. So I don't know the status of these parties. Probably like you guys don't understand ours, but they've also promised to improve mobile internet coverage. So I guess if you're looking for a little faster speed, vote Labor. again, I'm not endorsing anyone. I have no clue. All right, so just be aware. The refurbished Galaxy Note 7 release is expected this month. They've worked with the FCC. They've worked with a variety of firms across the country and in the globally. The refurbished phones will be sporting a smaller battery, and the application for safety certification is being made in Korea's National Radio Research Agency and has also received a similar approval by the FCC. So the refurbished Galaxy Note 7 will have a 3200 mAh battery this time around, and it also may come with Android 7 installed straight out of the box. So no idea on price at this time. I had to do something with all those phones, right? The Sony Xperia L1 goes on sale in the United States, so be aware of that. Maybe that's where I thought I had two phone articles in a row. Also, iPhone 8 facial recognition feature gets rumored again, so we'll see if that happens with the iPhone 8 release. Also, I'm a big fan of the Roku. You guys know that, but did you know you can get for a while now you've been able to get a Roku TV? You can now pre-order the 4K HDR TCL Roku TV this month, and they did announce this at the Consumer Electronics Show. How much is it going to cost? The P-Series TVs are going to be offering 50, 55, and 65-inch. The 55-inch model will be available at an introductory price of $599. Pre-orders for this model will be placed at Amazon starting May 26th. All models run the latest version of Roku OS and thus provide access to an extensive lineup of streaming channels. So I don't think it'll have regular TV stuff, so just be aware of that, okay? Also, it appears that the Windows Store, which I don't think I've used more than once, iTunes is going to be available and will be released within the Windows Store if you want to install Windows on your Windows 10 machine. There is ongoing concern about the Internet of Things, or anything that you have in your home that connects to the Internet that's not a computer, whether it be a camera, whether it be a refrigerator, whether it be your stove. The ongoing concern by most security firms are that most hacks that are happening on the internet today are being origined out of Internet of Things, and basically your camera in your home is being used to do denial of service attacks. So they want a lot more focus on the Internet of Things to get that locked down. The president today signed an executive order for sweeping review of U.S. cybersecurity. It was originally on his desk to sign in late January. For some reason, it was pulled. There was some supposed modifications done to it. But the review aims to point out holes in the nation's cybersecurity that have been abused by pranksters, hackers, and foreign government-directed data thieves. The EO further directs agencies to adopt better digital safety practices, though details are scarce at the moment, pending the full release of the order. President Obama did essentially the same thing while he was in office, and prior presidents as well. All right. There's one thing I always wondered, and Uber Gizmo kind of talks about it today, about the laptop ban. You know, that is still going on. You know, with the ban of laptops in U.S.-bound planes, with it potentially now expanding into Europe, a lot of people are upset because a lot of people do a lot of work while they're on the plane, work on their laptops and so forth. I always ask, why is the laptop safer in the luggage compartment? You know, historically, bombs have been planted in the luggage compartment, used a timer and a remote control. You know, the Pan Am Flight 103 over Scotland was brought down by explosive hidden a cassette player in luggage. So, they say, since then, many efforts into equipment processes have been made to avoid that kind of threat. As a result, luggage screening is more suited to bomb detection because security service can spend more time and use bigger equipment with having to worry about passenger frustration. In reality, this job is still really difficult, but they feel that if they were using a timer or remote detonator, more chances that it would fail due to error, damage, or being too cold, jamming, that kind of stuff. So, but it makes you wonder, you know, but still the metal, let me just make you guys understand this. When you're, you know, when you're sitting in your window seat, you know, you see all this nice, motif, the window dressing and the, you know, you lean up against the wall and sometimes you feel the cold through it, right? But if you take that off, all there is some essentially support bars and a very, very thin, you know, probably, 2/16, 3/16 thick aluminum, maybe. It's not very thick. That's between you and, you know, the outside. And the whole aircraft is essentially made the same way. It's not like there's thicker, structure. Well, there might be some crossbeam members and that kind of stuff, but, you know, that's more susceptible to really doing some serious damage. But, you know, the actual skin of the aircraft is the same and usually more exposed in the cargo area. So, and I know, this laptop ban is fan. Just make us turn on the laptop while we're checking in. And here's, I knew this was coming, and I don't know why, but I've always wondered why that the Russian antivirus company Kaspersky has always gotten a pass, but U.S. spy masters trash Kaspersky antivirus tools. They say they can't be trusted. And five U.S. spy bosses and the acting FBI chief, I guess not no longer the FBI director, today told Senate Intelligence Committee they do not trust software from Russian antivirus maker Kaspersky. It makes sense if you think about it a little bit, right? Ticketmaster is now showing you the view from any seat in the house. So when you get ready to purchase a ticket, and matter of fact, if you can get one, if the scalpers don't get them first, and you go in and you're like in an arena or hockey arena or something like this, it's going to show you your view from your seat. I bought tickets one time in a baseball stadium, and there was this big I-beam right in front of me that blocked my view of third base. I was so mad. But anyway, Ticketmaster has an exact replica of each venue that it works with. So that's kind of exciting. Twitter's NFL show is a consolation for losing games to Amazon. So we knew during 2016 NFL season, Twitter streamed the league's slate of Thursday night football matchups. This is went to Amazon. They won it. Paid more money. But Twitter's going to get some stuff, but not very much. This is kind of exciting, too. The Department of Justice code-breaking project was found unencrypted on a university's network that was not secure. So let me say that again. A Department of Justice code breaking project was found unencrypted on the internet on a publicly exposed university server. Isn't that just ironic? A code breaking project. So obviously they didn't use any type of encryption on the document that explained the actual code breaking. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stuff. And the final couple articles tonight. Russian blogger found guilty of playing Pokemon Go in church. He received a suspended jail sentence for inciting religious hatred. Okay. Uber is now a taxi company, not internet. European Court of Justice advised. So the good old European Union has just drove a spike through Uber and any other single market service provider. Crazy. Uber fails to meet driving standards. So that's big news out of Europe. Well, at least you didn't ship a keylogger with any of your computers. HP has shipped a creepy keylogger on its laptops, according to security researchers. A Conexit audio driver for headphones, which is installed on the computer, records the user's keystrokes to a file on the disk. Beautiful. The dodgy code lurks on HP Elite Book, Pro Book, and ZBook laptops are in the Windows 7 and 10 and HP's bundled software. Link will be up in the show notes. You own an HP computer? You may want to check this out. And one more article on an antivirus company, Avast. Software updated and pushed out on Wednesday is preventing web access for at least some devices running the firm's freebie anti-malware software. So, wow. You know, you have a malware protection program, you load it up, and then what does it do? It goes and blocks you from being on the internet. You just gotta love it. All right, here comes the comments from the last show. We do have a few. Today is May 11th. The last show was recorded on May 8th, released on May 9th. I got a few contest entries. So those of you that have made a purchase because of the show, geeknews@gmail.com. The next show is the grand finale here. All right, so get your entries in now. Again, if you made a purchase on a recommendation for the show, or you haven't ever made a purchase from something that show, make it up. geeknews@gmail.com. Actually, don't. If you have never bought something I've recommended, don't enter. And also, let me know what your favorite episode is. Two separate emails, two separate entries. You can have a chance to win $100 on the show. So anyway, Dennis, I hope you're still here. I have two things to say about this podcast. The first is you were wondering why Tesla would allow the self-steer at 90 miles per hour. Here in Texas, we have interstates and toll roads with a max speed of 85. Oh, I know that one that comes out of the Austin airport that goes up to 40 is 85. That is beautiful. Setting the self-steer to 90 allows you to put your vehicle in total cruise for long stretches of road. Also, the second, as you're providing a new service to your listeners, I would suggest you learn to pronounce the names of the products and persons you are reporting on correctly. You should take time before each podcast to go over the headlines and learn the pronunciation of those products and personalities. To me, by not doing this makes you sound unintelligent, and we know that is not true. You know, Dennis, here's the deal. It's tough. It really is. How many did we cover? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 47 articles tonight on the show. Can never get them all right all the time. And it's just the way it is. And I've been slaughtering certain words in the English language and foreign names and startups' names from the beginning. So, 'tis what it is. And I always do my best, but hey, not very many tech shows go over 47 articles in 70 minutes. Not very many at all, including about 10 minutes or 15 minutes at the beginning, chit-chatting about life. Thanks for your comment, though. I do appreciate it. I hope you're still here. Everyone, drop me a line here, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And of course, love to hear from you. And we'll keep you advised. We'll see you back here on Monday for episode 1200, like we do on every 100th episode. We'll share some statistics on where the show is, listener-wise, hours put in, all those kind of fun stats. So I got to get that updated over the weekend, have that ready for you. And then we'll give away some cash. And we'll start on the next round. All right. Everyone, thanks for being here. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Center podcast. Take care. My name is Todd Cochran. Email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. And thank you for your continued support of the sponsor. Everyone, take care. Aloha.